Good evening. Welcome in to State of the Tigers here on PowerMizzou.com, our weekly live show talking Mizzou sports with you here on your favorite YouTube channel. Like, comment, subscribe, share, do all the things that people who are good at YouTube ask you to do and do them for us, even though we're just merely average at YouTube. I want to remind you that every single week we are brought to you by James Carlton State Farm Insurance in Webster Groves. Actually, just re-upped with James for another full year of podcasts and live shows. So want to ask you to support him. All I had to do in order to get James back on board was agree to play golf with him next Tuesday and let him beat me badly after my appearance at the St. Louis Tiger Club. So all that's been worked out. James is back on board. His information is going to be running across the bottom of the screen if you're watching with us live. CarltonInsurance.net, 314-961-4800. If you're listening on the podcast, again, CarltonInsurance.net, by phone at 314-961-4800. Get in touch with James and his team. They are going to take care of all of your insurance needs. We have a special guest on the podcast this week. It's been a minute, but we bring back Sean Williams to talk a little bit of Mizzou recruiting. Not like a ton of stuff has happened really in the last couple months as far as commitments and stuff. So we've given you some time off, but we thought it was time to hang out with Sean again. So what's up, man?
You said special guest, and then you instantly let him down by showing my face on this this YouTube channel. So
okay, let me redo that. We have a guest on the podcast tonight. Sean Williams.
True game. Not a lot of commitments, but a lot of visitors and a lot of high profile visitors. I mean, it's been pretty fun to kind of keep up with everybody that's coming in. I mean, you got a bunch of Rivals 250 guys. You got a five-star kid that's coming in. There's a lot going on. Just Missouri doesn't have any commitments. And, you know, it's like I tell people on the board that have kind of asked the last couple of weeks, you know, it's like, hey, we're getting all these visitors. Like, usually we have a commitment or two by now. I'm like, yeah, you know, but here's the thing. And this is why it's kind of not a big deal, is because you just went 11-2 and you finished number 8 in the country. So you can be a little bit more picky than you can in previous years, where you're going to take like an in-state guy that's a little bit under the radar, under-recruited, and you'll take a flyer on him. But now everybody kind of wants to check your program out, and now you can be a little bit more selective. And now you've got a lot of top-tier guys coming in for visits that are in the Rivals 250 rankings and everything. So,
and those two things kind of go hand in hand, right? Like, to me, the delay in commitments is that's the cost of swimming in the waters that Missouri is swimming in, that Missouri hasn't really swam in very often in the last 20 years. even at the level Drinkwitz has recruited the last 2 or 3 years, I feel like this spring is different. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, just like I just said, you know, just the amount of like Rivals 250 guys that they've had coming in, and the amount of official visitors or official visits that they have set up with like Rivals 250 guys and 4-star kids. And it's been pretty, like I said, it's been a lot to keep up with, even though there's not been a commitment yet. Just in terms of just keeping up with visitors, you know, like official visit schedules and where these other guys are going, kind of who's Missouri battling it out with these other kids and everything. And, you know, it's funny, you know, like just kind of shows you how fast kind of the pendulum swings. Like before March, we were kind of talking about, yeah, you know, they're not in on a lot of offensive line guys. You know, we talked about Babalola, Lang, and I think Fasusi was kind of in the picture at that time because he took that January visit. But then, you know, we got Lamont Rogers now, and he's like a top 100 guy. So we've got like a lot more offensive line, like top tier offensive line guys that they're going after. So it's been fun, a lot to keep up with, and I think we'll be pretty busy starting in late May to keep up with all these official visitors and kind of where everything goes and, you know, how the puzzle pieces kind of come together then. So
I think we might have breaking news here on the podcast. Brock B says Boggs just decommitted. Is that Javon Boggs, the wide receiver that was committed to Ohio State?
Yeah, I just did a story on him last week. He came in, I think, the weekend before and for the spring game. And, of course, he's current Ohio State commitment. He's been committed there for a little bit. But Missouri's got him on campus and kind of impressed him. And, we'll kind of see what happens there. I don't know, you know, he just decommitted. I know he just can't visit in Missouri. You know, I'm sure he probably will come in back in for an official visit and take some other official visits as well. So, But that's big.
Do you know off the top of your head who else is in on him?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I would have to look.
Yeah, no worries. We'll look that up here in a minute. But you mentioned we're going to be busy in May. I think we're going to get busy sooner than that. The big story right now, I think, is four-star quarterback Matthew Zollers is announcing, I believe that'll be next Thursday.
Yeah, April 4th. Yeah. So, yeah, he's doing the top four, which is Missouri, Pitt, Penn State, Georgia. He's taken, he's visited all those schools back in January. He's doing his final visits, unofficially doing spring visits over the next couple of weeks. He was at Missouri last Wednesday. So then he'll do Pitt, Penn State, and then Georgia will get the last unofficial on April 2nd. And then he's going to make his decision on April 4th. And, his school just kind of tweeted out today that, hey, press conference at, I forgot what time it was, but they got everything set up. So it's definitely going to go down on April 4th. So that should be the first domino to fall. And obviously that would be a big one for Missouri. I mean, they kind of started out with like three guys that were kind of on the radar. And then, in January, you kind of saw that Zollers was kind of probably, kind of emerged as their top guy. And that seems to be the case right now. So we'll kind of see where the dominoes fall there.
Yeah. And he was here, last week, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. He was back on campus last week and checked out not the spring game, but he was a midweek guy. So I think he checked out of practice and just kind of hung out with the coaches and everything. So.
And it, most of the word we're getting, and this is not just from Missouri, this is from Penn State. This is from Georgia. Like most of the people I've talked to view Missouri as the leader in this. And so not just to get your first commitment, but to have it be a four-star out-of-state quarterback that is a take at Georgia and Penn State. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about things Missouri hasn't done before. That's a thing Missouri hasn't done before.
You're covering, you got two things. I mean, geography, and you beat out Georgia and Penn State. And Penn State's a team that, a program he's visited a lot. Obviously, he's from Pennsylvania. He's probably visited that school the most, but they have a four-star quarterback committed right now. I think, obviously, it seems like they'll take him, but I think Georgia's kind of the biggest threat here. And I talked to somebody that covers Georgia today, and he said, as far as he knows, Zollers is a commitment, a take for Georgia. They'll take him, but the thing with Georgia is they're still trying to kind of, go after Julian Lewis, who's committed to USC and has been for a while, but he's an in-state kid that's committed to USC, so they're trying to get him to, so even if Zollers does commit, does that stop their pursuit of Julian Lewis? Probably not, so does that have a sway in his decision and thought process, before April 4th? He's like, hey, I know if I go to Missouri, I'm going to be the guy, the quarterback in that class. Whereas if I pick Georgia, they're probably not going to stop recruiting the in-state guy that's, highly touted and the number one quarterback in the nation, so.
Well, the good news for Matthew Zollers or anybody else is he can commit wherever he wants. Dude, he might go to 17 different schools. Like, he can transfer anywhere he wants, and then he can transfer back to the place he transferred from because that's what they're doing these days.
It's free agency, man. It's whatever goes. So, yeah. I figured we'll talk about that. You want to talk about that now or later?
Well, real quick before we get into talking about how stupid everything is. Javon Boggs, I looked up, he has 30 some odd offers, 24 offers listed. The only visit that's listed is Florida last summer. Now, we know he visited Missouri. We got to get that in the database, but I'm sure he has taken other visits. They're not in the database right now, but I don't know if I think kids decommit now with an idea. And if you decommit in March, I'm not sure you decommit to go to a specific place so much as to say, hey, I want to just go check out some other places.
I think a lot of it, in his case, I think he'll back off. And who knows, he might take an official visit to Ohio State again, but he'll take official visits to other places. It's like when a lot of kids, when they commit that early and then, you've got other schools still recruiting you and still, saying, hey, come to campus.
You kind of miss out on the steak and lobster.
Yeah,
and
obviously, he's taken other visits, since he's been committed to Ohio State. It's not like Missouri is just the only school he's visited. So Yeah, I think they kind of like, man, I kind of want to be winding down a little bit during the summer, you know, take official visits and, you know, kind of, you know, weigh my options after I do all that stuff, you know, so.
Well, and Ohio State, though, tends to be one of those places because they can do this. You decommit. I'm not saying they cut him loose, but there's no guarantee he has a spot in a week there at wide receiver. You know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it really just, I guess it kind of depends on, you know, each program. I think Ohio State's a little bit stricter with that. But I mean, look, we just talked about it. I mean, transfer portal, stuff like that. You kind of maybe want to maintain that good graces in the relationship in case, you know, Boggs commits somewhere else. And, you know, 2 years down the road, he's like, hey, guys, I'm going to hit the transfer portal. And, you know, you want to kind of be like, hey, we recruited you in high school, man. You were committed to us for a little bit, you know. And you kind of right. want to keep the relationship going a little bit. So, it's almost like the transfer portal is kind of, you know, taken on. It's something you have to think about in the high school recruiting process because you don't want to piss somebody off. You know, you don't want to piss a kid off. You know, even though they decommitted, you don't want to piss them off. And you know, and then that way, in case down 2 years down the road they hit the transfer portal, and you're like, man, we really need you. You know, you're a really good player. You know, so
I've talked to coaches in both sports who specifically say, when we recruit a kid now, like, we're not just recruiting him for right now. Like, there's a kid. If we've got a kid that he's not a take for us maybe right now, we are recruiting him so that even though we won't take him now, in a year or two, if he develops, we'll take him then. Right. And we don't have to go back and do the stuff that we didn't do 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's smart, you know, and you got to think about that stuff now, especially with the portal and everything. You know, if you already know these kids and you already had them on campus, you know their parents, I mean, it's just kind of like restarting an old friendship, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this question will kind of lead into all of that. Aiden is, and guys, if you've got questions, specific kids, anything about recruiting, throw them up. We'll get to them as the show goes on. But is the Zoller situation similar to what Daniel Kalen was last year, where he could still commit to a school knowing they're pursuing the number one quarterback in the country? Well, if I remember, Kalen actually did the opposite. He committed somewhere else because Nebraska was pursuing the number one kid in the country. And then unfortunately for him, Nebraska signed that kid after he had already signed. So if Matt Zollers is going to do that, I hope for his sake, the number one kid in the country commits to that school before Zollers has already signed and he can look elsewhere.
Yeah, I think with Kalon, he, you know, he committed to Nebraska because Dylan Raiola ended up committing to Georgia. And then right. He was committed to Georgia for a long time. Then he backed off. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, that's kind of a very similar scenario.
But when Nebraska was after Raiola, that's when Kalen committed to Missouri. Right, and then when Raiola went to Georgia, the spot opened back up. And he said, hey, Nebraska's where I always wanted to go. Then he goes there, and then they sign Raiola anyway. Yeah,
so. The Raiola situation was like ludicrous and ridiculous.
it's the most that whole story, though, is the most 2024 thing. Like, Kalen got screwed.
Yep.
But you don't feel bad for him because he decommitted from a place.
Right.
You know, Raiola kind of screwed Georgia and then screwed Kalen, and God knows how much money he's making.
Right.
You know, both coaching. It's just an absolute. I don't know how you recruit for anything other than next season at this point. Like, I don't think you can worry about what's there in 2 or 3 years anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you just got to kind of hope and pray that some of these kids stay, you know, and you do the best you can to keep them on, you know, especially the ones you really, really want. I mean, I think every class you've got, you like your class, you know, you like your recruiting class, but I think you have priority guys, you know. And I mean, you know, these are guys you're going to kind of figure out once they hit the field and hit practice, you know, you kind of figure out like, hey, those are the guys we want. And you know, maybe in a year or two, we just see these guys aren't developing in practice and things like that. It's like, we'll be okay if they hit the portal, you know, but yeah. I mean, it's a now world, you know, so.
Yeah, I feel like you used to take, and especially Missouri, like it was a developmental program, right? They took a lot of kids who were, you know, 3 stars, maybe kind of borderline players, but they're like, hey, this kid's not going to be on the field for a couple years, but in year 3, we think he will. I don't think you take those kids now. You let those kids go to Group of 5 schools.
Right.
And then if they do well there, you just go tamper with them and steal them. Like, you don't have to develop your own kids. You don't have to bring in the 3-star from rural Missouri who might be a player in 2 years. Like, you just let them go work that out somewhere else. And then when he becomes an all-conference USA or all Sun Belt player, then you go get him out of the portal.
Yeah, that's true. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, you got to think about, you know, kids that are rated really high, like 4-star kids or Rivals 250 kids, you know, they think they have to play right away. And sometimes
you've got to play them.
Yeah, and you got to play them. And sometimes that doesn't work out. And then when it doesn't work out because they're maybe not good enough, you know, that just happens. And when they're not good enough and they don't get on the field, they get pissed off and they hit the portal. So,
right.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, man.
I think the evaluation is probably more important with the highly ranked guys. Cause like if you bring in a 3-star kid and he doesn't play and he leaves, there's not a bunch of outrage over it.
Right.
But let's say, and I don't want to use a specific name because I don't want to pick on any individual, but let's say there's a kid who's ranked 4 or 5 stars out of St. Louis. Well, if the Missouri coaching staff doesn't think he's good enough to play in year one, what's worse, not offering him or offering him, getting him, and then he doesn't play and then he transfers? I'd almost rather just deal with not offering him initially and just say, hey, guys, sorry, it's our evaluation. We just don't think he can play here.
Yeah, you definitely want to go with the latter there, because if it doesn't work out when you bring him in on campus,
then it's your fault.
Exactly. It's your fault. Yeah. And, you know, at the same time, it may not be the coach's fault, but it's just a matter of patience. You know, right. You're not going to hit the field in the first year, a lot of these kids, you know, and they just don't have patience. Well,
look, like Luther Burden is, I think by most people's accounts, the number one wide receiver in the country heading into this year.
Mm-hmm.
He was mediocre as a freshman. You know, mediocre probably at best. I mean, he scored a lot of touchdowns, but
I would say mediocre in the grand scheme of things. But I mean, as a freshman wide receiver, he was probably had the best stats.
But that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's this all world kid and he comes in, he has 350 yards. You know, I mean, that's what being a freshman is, but
right.
That's a dangerous game.
Some people don't like to accept that reality.
Exactly. So it's in a state that has always held, the high schools have always held Mizzou to a different standard than other places. The evaluations are hugely important now because I've covered 4- and 5-star kids in this state that I've had Missouri coaches say, I don't really think he's good enough, but we don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to offer him. I don't think you can offer that kid anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Let's jump in and take a couple questions real quick. Mike wants to know, I know it's early, is the Cantwell situation as positive as it looks? So Christian is a 2026 kid, and that means he will be eligible to sign in 20 months, I think. 21 months, something like that. So this thing is going to have peaks and valleys. Like, there are going to be tweets that make people think, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. We'd never recruit Nixa again. And then, but as of right now, sources say Missouri feels pretty good about things.
I think Missouri should. I mean, they just had him on campus again. He came during the season. I think he came last summer. So, I mean, he's honestly, you know, when you talk to him, you know, he kind of reminds you how much he's been to Missouri, you know, so, you know, and then, you know, it's funny, there's, you kind of talk about that, you know, I talked to him, did the story on him, and there's a lot of positivity around it. And then he went and visits Georgia. He's like, oh, and then people on the board is like, we got to worry about Georgia. I'm like, yeah, of course you do.
Always got to worry about Georgia.
He's the number two kid in the country in his class. So, you know, they're, you know. And but I think right now that would probably be the two teams to beat, because, you know, he's been to Georgia a bunch too, you know, and he finally, you know, kind of going behind the curtains in the last interview I did with him, he's got a good personality, you know. Like I said, he's a really good kid to talk to, and he kind of jokingly says, like, yeah, he's like, you know, he's like, it's ironic that I was actually at Missouri's 2 losses last year, because he was at Georgia whenever Missouri played Georgia. Right. And he said, and then I was at LSU for that game. He's like, so I hope I'm not bad luck for Missouri.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about, especially about these highly rated kids. We know about them so early. Like at this point in Williams Winery's recruitment, it was just a foregone conclusion he was going to Oklahoma. Like nobody, Everybody said, hey, don't even mess with it. There's no change. This is going to change a lot. Like Missouri's going to be in it. But if you are watching or listening to this, for your sanity, I would advise that maybe you don't get all that wrapped up in things that are happening in March of his sophomore year.
Yeah, I mean, you're a grizzled veteran, Gabe, and I've been doing this for about a dozen years now. Yeah, I'm not even worried about it, man. So,
that brings up an interesting point. I said this to a couple of people that do what we do a couple weeks ago. I said, you know what? The portal has made me not care at all about any individual recruitment. Like, they don't matter. Like, and you still want good classes. And I get it. If the number two kid in the country is from your state, it's important and you want to get them and all that. But like, I don't know why you would get all that high or low about any one kid, because there's a 50% chance he's not going to be on the team he signs with in 2 years.
Yeah. We're kind of running into the era where, I don't know. We're not going to be able to count very many kids that actually started their college career at one college and finished it at the same college, right. So that's just totally.
And it's only going to get worse because like the free transfer stuff isn't going away. Now that they've let that toothpaste out of the tube, there's no putting it back. There's no way they're ever going to be able to come back and say, okay, you can transfer once, but that's it. It's done, man.
Yeah.
Cat's out of the bag.
We've had this conversation before previously, but yeah, that was a bad idea. Transfer once without penalty, cool. You know,
I agree.
Transfer twice, unless you're a grad transfer and you do it again, that's fine. But, just hitting the portal every year or two, that's kind of crazy.
Well, and let's just name the kid. Caden Proctor. That shouldn't happen, man.
No, yeah.
That should not happen. Iowa for 2 months.
He needs to, to prevent that from happening. If he actually did do that and then just enroll again, he sets out a year.
I agree. Totally agree. First one, free transfer. I'm absolutely cool with it. Second time, because I'll give any kid a mistake, man. Any kid. One of my good friends, his daughter is a college athlete, went to a place and just wasn't the right place, just recently here. So cool. Go fix that, man.
Yeah.
Go change it once. But if it wasn't the right place and you transferred away and then all of a sudden 2 months later, it was the right place again. What the hell are we doing, man?
It was the right place for my own here. It was the right place, game.
Right. And I don't begrudge him that. Good for him. He got paid, right? That's how you play the game. I don't blame Caleb DeBoer. Like, there's talk that there's going to be other kids that have transferred away from Alabama back.
I saw that.
So, hey, Caleb DeBoer, you're doing your job, man. I get it, but that's a terrible precedent.
Yeah, just to transfer from a semester because Nick Saban left, and then new coaching staff at Alabama settled in, and here's my NIL deal with them now. I might transfer back. It's just kind of, at some point you gotta set rules and you gotta punish kids for making stupid decisions. I mean, just to be quite honest, I mean that's just kind of the gist of it because, making money is good, but just to kind of bounce back and forth between schools in half a year's time or a semester's time is crazy, So
and make it a full year contract. Cool. You can transfer. You're here for a year.
Right.
That's it. You are here through next football season. And if you want to go back and go to school at Alabama, cool. But you don't get to be on the football team till next year.
Right.
I don't know if this is true or not. Connor is saying there's a basketball player named Marcus Adams who is going to be at his fourth school as a redshirt freshman. That's amazing, man.
There's got to be some injury issues there too to throw in the mix, maybe. But I think I can't remember. I was watching NCAA tournament, and of course, is one of those like seventh year seniors, and you know, he had like a couple of knee injuries and things like that. And yeah, I was like, man, that's crazy though.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have like 6 degrees hanging on their walls eventually. You know, I think the COVID year going away maybe will help a little bit, but it's not going to completely correct.
No, you're kind of taking, you know, you take that COVID year away now, which is cool, but now you got all this NIL stuff and everybody's, you know, free agency and everything like that. It's just kind of crazy.
Well, and Anthony says no pay until you play, and that like that's what's got to start happening. This NIL money has to start being tied to being on the football field, right? Because we call them pros, but pros only get the money if they do the job. In the NFL, your money, if you get cut, you don't get paid. Show up for games, you don't get paid.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the old school NFL rookie contracts that they had. You know, like Sam Bradford signed for like $260 million, you know, because he's the number one draft pick, but he didn't do anything on the field yet. And they kind of restructured that. Yeah, and that's like, you know, I know Nick Saban kind of caught some flack because people didn't actually hear, you know, everything he said in this like court hearing or whatever, you know, talking about NIL. But I mean, he kind of said, you know, that's how he thought NIL would be structured, you know, pay these kids based on performance, you know, and how they're playing and everything like that, instead of it just being kind of like a free agency meat market out there, you know. So
there's three groups of people that, well, the number one group of people to be blamed for this is college sports and the NCAA in general for kicking the can down the road and then implementing this totally wrong. But given the system we have, assign the order of blame here. Number one, the players for taking advantage of the system. Number two, the coaches for actually doing this and allowing the kids to be their masters. And number three, the fans for paying for it.
I don't know. It's a great question.
Like, I put the players third there because all they're doing is what the system and the coaches and the fans are allowing them to do. Like, if Caden Proctor wants to do this and Kalen DeBoer says, no, you made your choice, you can't come back here, then this stops. But but he won't say that because he's a really good player. And the Alabama fans won't say that because he's going to help them win games. So take my money, please, 20-year-old kid, to come play for my football team. And, like, look, I don't mean to blame fans. I do enough of that. I don't want to come off as that guy. But I'm just saying, if the money's not there, then it stops, right? They're doing it because it's the same reason I've always said, like, why are these athletes getting in trouble with the law? Because they were good at sports. And so growing up, nobody ever told them the rules applied to them.
Right.
It's the same thing here. Yep. Why are you transferring five times? It's the same reason, like growing up, my dad always used to say, why does the dog lick his balls? Because he can. That's it. That's why they're transferring, because they can, and because they continue to make money to do it, and because coaches continue to treat them as if the rules that apply to everybody else don't apply. And again, I have no problem with one transfer. Right. Absolutely no issue.
Yeah.
But what we're doing here can't keep working.
Yeah. I don't know what the NCAA is going to do. I mean, nobody really thinks that they, you know, can enforce any rules or laws or anything. So. Kind of made your own bed there.
That's the thing. You almost can't now, because if you enforce a rule, all the players have to do is take you to court, and it's been proven they're going to win.
Yeah.
They're always going to win, man. Player empowerment. So, but that's why we eventually have to get to, I mean, there has to be something, and I don't have the answers, but I mean, you talk to coaches who do this literally there was a question on our board, is Missouri safe in the spring portal window? Nobody's safe, man.
Yeah.
Every player in America is 2.5 weeks from being a free agent again. Every single one. And so what stops, and again, I'm not going to use any certain player's name because I don't want to panic. I have no indication anybody from Missouri is leaving. But what happens when you've got a starter that comes into your office after spring football and goes, Coach, I know we agreed I was going to get 300 next year, but man, this other place just offered me 400.
Right.
What do you do? Do you go get that kid four? Or are you the one that finally puts your foot down and says, I don't know what to tell you, kid. Fine, go take the money.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be some schools that, you know, kind of maybe they want to give him four, but they can't, you know, so.
Right. That too. Well, and it, like, this is one place I credit Eli Drinkwitz. He's done a really good job. There have been very few kids transfer out who Missouri really, really wanted to keep. I mean, Dominic Lovett is one. Mm-hmm. Mekhi Wingo was kind of a special situation. But other than that, most of their transfers have been kids that weren't playing. But there are going to be, I would assume, at least double-figure Power 5 players who hit the portal in 3 weeks. Your first reaction is, why the hell is he transferring? He's a starter at a Power 5 school.
Yeah, that'll happen. That's just the way it is. But you mentioned Dominic Lovett. I can't wait for the Dominic Lovett
weekly stat update.
Weekly stat updates on the board. Well, I mean, season starts.
I don't think Georgia's had their spring game yet, so maybe we'll get some spring game stats from Dom down in Athens.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, Matthew Zoller's next Thursday. We don't really anticipate any breaking news before then.
Somebody asked if, you know, I had any update on that. I'm like, hey, we'll know closer to when he commits, you know, because he's got the Georgia visits on the 2nd, then he commits on the 4th. So, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
Got to get through that visit on Tuesday and see what comes out of that. But, all right, so month of April, give me an over-under. I meant to start this show and be really funny regarding the news about certain former Missouri athlete last night saying I was setting the over-under on this show at 45 minutes and guaranteeing the under because I'm in complete control of that. But month of April, give me an over-under for number of commits. Like, where would you put it at during the month?
For April, I'll probably go over-under. I'll go 3.5.
3.5. That's what I was going to say. That seems like a good number. I don't really have two kids in mind other than Zoller's, but I feel like once you get one, they generally kind of come in bunches.
Right. I think, you know, if Zoller's is the first domino, I think you might get a wide receiver to hop in there and then you might get an in-state guy, you know? So, like I said, you know, and that's still pretty good. Like I said, you know, this is the year. Missouri's coming off a great year. They're taking advantage of it. They're being a little bit more picky, you know, in terms of commitments, but I'm sitting here looking at the official visit list. It's pretty large right now. And, you know, we'll continue to add names to that. And, we'll be pretty busy in June for sure.
Yeah. One more question that I had missed. I meant to get this earlier and I missed it. So we'll finish up with this. Connor wants to know, who would you compare Dylan Alfred to of like the current Missouri receivers? I make a habit of not really watching a recruiting film, so I don't know. I don't know if you know.
I mean, I don't want to say Luther Burden because, you know, the thing with Alfred, you know, I would maybe say a little bit of Mookie Cooper, you know, a little bit taller too, but
like a bigger version. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing with Alfred though, is like, he plays at Sarah Land and they're absolutely loaded. They got the KJ Lacey kid that's committed to Texas. He's the quarterback. And then last year, you know, they had Ryan Williams, who's the 5-star Alabama signee. So he was kind of like second fiddle to Ryan Williams, still had like 500 and something yards. So he'll be like the number one guy this year. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of stats he puts up with Ryan Williams now at Alabama. So he should have a pretty big year down there, but that's what I would compare him to in terms of Missouri receivers, probably more Mookie Cooper-esque.
All right. Well, this feels like a good place to finish. AU Stock says, has there been any word on an AD? Zero, none, zilch. I assume they'll hire one, but I'm not going to promise you they're going to hire one.
Could be Gabe DeArmond.
I assume they will hire one. So anyway, appreciate you guys joining us. Want to ask you one more time to get in touch with our friend James Carlton at State Farm in Webster Groves. You can get in touch with him online at carltoninsurance.net. You can call him at 314-961-4800. You can get in touch with him either of those ways. He also has a Facebook page, Carlton Insurance, if you are one of those types. If you joined us live on YouTube, we appreciate you. Like the show, share, subscribe to the channel, do all those things before you leave. If you're listening on the podcast, share it. Nice comment. Say good things. We will talk to you next time. We'll probably make Sean come on before, you know, another 5 months, but we'll see, man. All right. See y'all later.